I have two sermons, and I don't know. I really don't. I'm at a kind of a loss on which one to go with. I told Ralph that. I said, I got two sermons tonight. I don't know. And he said, well, just preach both of them. He said, I drove 45 minutes here. So I won't do that to you, but I'm not sure which one to do. I have an idea, but let's pray, and we'll pick one and we'll go with it. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. Help us get out of your words what we need to get out of them. I thank you for just the good news. It's such a blessing to hear about these doors opening up, and what a blessing as a church to be able to get the gospel out, and then seeing doors opened and more opportunities, and just unbelievable. It's such a blessing to be a part of your work. It really is. And I pray you'd help us help more of our folks get involved and be a part of the work that's going on. And the more that are involved, the more that we'll be able to do. And I pray that you would inspire hearts and motivate folks. And thank you for those that are faithful and do help and do participate in the ministry. And thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastes. We'll do Ecclesiastes. Does that make you happy, Megan? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Do what? You'll get it next week. Yeah, it'll be next week's sermon. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It's about seasons, a time to every purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we'll read 8 verses here. And I give you a few things about these seasons. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Solomon says there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, he gives you 28, after that there's 28 purposes that he lists, and that may be all the purposes there are. I don't know, under heaven, that may be all the purposes, 28 purposes. I know there's, what does the moon have, like 28 stages or something like that? It's 28 purposes that are listed here, and I give you three things about these seasons, but there's life is seasons. And to expect anything different is to be disappointed. To expect anything different is to be discouraged. And he says in here, things that you wouldn't think that there are seasons for. He says a time to kill. Like, when is that? A time to die. When is that? A time to be born. But there are things in here you would think, okay, well, that makes sense. There's a time to be born, but a time to die? What about a time to heal? Yeah, that makes sense. But a time to kill? But all of these things, and there are. I mean, there is, for instance, to give you an example of a time to kill in the Bible, a person that had committed murder, it was the duty of the government to institute capital punishment. And that was appropriate. That was a time to do away with a life, because a life is this murderer and has taken another life. And so that's an appropriate thing. And he says also, a little further down there, he says in verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. So when it's the appropriate time for a purpose to be accomplished, then the thing is okay. For instance, you know, when a baby is born after nine months, here comes, you know, labor pains and those things that some of y'all are very familiar with, and that's appropriate. That's the right time. But when the labor pains start coming at 7 months, that's not the right time, and that's not beautiful. That becomes a problem. So he says there's a time for everything, and when things happen in their time frame, it's good. When they don't happen in their time frame, that's not a good thing. It's out of order. It's out of sequence. It's bad. But if it happens in its season, seasons are predictable when things happen in their seasons. I mean, you know, winter's coming. I mean, if we lived up north and there was that deal with snow, I mean, winter never comes down here. But you know, summer's coming and never ending, and you know that down here. But you know there are seasons, and these seasons you can prepare for, and people do that. So they're predictable when seasons are routine and everything is happening in its season. It's predictable. Jesus Christ prepared his disciples right before the cross, and he said, "Look, this is what's going to happen, and don't be dismayed, and don't fret over this, because this is what has to happen. I'm going to die, and then I'm going to raise again on the third day." And the point was just preparing them for what's about to happen. You can be prepared for seasons, and so seasons are predictable. There's the promise of seasons. He says in verse 1, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven," which brings me to the second point. You got the promise of seasons, which it's going to happen. It's going to happen this way. And then there is the definition of a season, which is it's the time for a purpose to be accomplished. And like I said, he gives you 28 purposes there. And a season just describes the time it takes to accomplish a purpose. And some purposes take longer than others. And sometimes purposes are uncomfortable. Sometimes purposes are joyful experiences. But ultimately, the season defines the time it takes for something to be accomplished. Time to be born, like we said, you got 9 months after conception. Time to die, when the soul leaves the body and things like that, or spirit leaves the body, the soul goes where it's going, and either with the Lord and things like that. But because in seasons, purposes are accomplished, you'll find out that a lot of times proof is made over the season. I'll give you an example. You kind of find out what a thing is after a time. For instance, the Lord said in one of the parables, Matthew 13, talks about the wheat and the tares, and the servants come in and they say, somebody came in and sowed tares among the wheat. Should we pluck them up? And he says, no, just wait till the harvest time. And the point is, just you're going to tear everything up. Just let the harvest come, and then you'll be able to get rid of the weeds when the harvest comes. And so at that point in time, it will be very evident what was fruitful and what was a weed, and that kind of idea. So in that time frame, it allowed the objects, the things, to prove what they were. This thing is a tear, and this thing was wheat. This thing is a weed over here, and this thing is fruitful. So there's purposes. There are proof is made, you could say. Proof is made from season to season, wheat and tares and things like that. Paul says to Timothy He says, let young men prove themselves. For instance, in ministry, you just don't put somebody in a position in anything, in really any job. You don't just put someone there without some proof that they know what they're doing or they have the ability to do this task at hand. So it takes time for that to happen. It takes a season for proof to be made this thing to prove itself, this person to prove itself, this tare to show it's a tare, this wheat to show it's wheat, things like that. But seasons determine those kinds of things. In these seasons, when purposes are being accomplished, that'll determine what kind of tools are used. For instance, if you're up north in the winter and it's cold, you'll probably be using a snow plow or something like that. Well, you may not use that all the time. You just use it when the season's right. And so things like that around here, when it's hot and always hot and just constantly hot, use different tools. So the seasons can determine the tools you use. You wouldn't go out and use a harvest. I mean, you wouldn't run a disc over the harvest thing. I mean, you wouldn't ruin a harvest like that. That's the wrong tool for the job. So the second point is this: purposes are accomplished in seasons that'll determine the tools that are used. It'll determine your plans and activities. And in, I guess the one of the bottom lines in all of this, when Solomon says these things in Ecclesiastes, I don't know if we don't have the expectation or we just, I don't know. I don't know what our expectations are in life, but all of these purposes, there's a time for all of these things. There's a time to speak. There's a time to stop talking. There's a time to cry. There's a time to laugh. There's a time for all of these things. And so just because, I guess you can put it this way, just because somebody's crying doesn't mean that's wrong. It doesn't mean it's bad. That may be appropriate for the situation. Just because someone has stopped talking, that may not be bad. That may be good. That may be appropriate for the situation. Just because someone is talking, that may not be bad. That may be good. I don't know, but you get the idea. There's time for these things. And every one of these events has its appropriate circumstance. They all have their appropriate circumstances, and every one of these purposes will be achieved in this season. That's what the season is. It's a time to accomplish a purpose. And with those things said, I'm going to show you a couple things in the New Testament about seasons that are kind of interesting. I thought they were kind of interesting. There's several things, opposites in Ecclesiastes 3, life, death, birth, death, planting, plucking up, gathering, casting away, all that kind of stuff, sowing, tearing apart, all that kind of stuff. There's a time for all of that. When the Lord gets to something like, which is kind of interesting, when he gets to something like preaching, you know what he says? He says, be instant in season and out of season. Meaning preaching has really no season. It's appropriate. It's something appropriate. We'll just look at it. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. One of these things that just, it's appropriate. And it's interesting the way he uses this word that was used by Solomon, the season of it. Sometimes you'll see more fruit than others. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Paul tells Timothy this: preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So preaching is something that is appropriate all the time. There's not a particular time where it will be more effective. It may have more more fruit born with it. For instance, I just thinking about our announcements here. I mean, it's a blessing to hear about open doors and seeing visitors in church. And we know we just did baptisms the other day, and it feels like a little time of some fruitfulness and some blessings. But you also know there's going to be some times where it's going to be dry. You know it's not going to be like that all the time. You know, though, you pass through these periods of blessings in season and then out of season. It's just not the same. It's not as productive. It doesn't seem as productive as other times. I've noticed this, and if you have a green thumb and all that stuff, you've noticed this, but fruitfulness is often punctuated by pruning and purging, and so you'll see these times of fruitfulness followed by a time of pruning, where things just start getting cut off, and that can be painful, but it's just the cycles of life and seasons and things like that. So back over to the seasons and thinking about the seasons, I think it's neat. Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Sometimes it's going to be fruitful, sometimes it's not, but preaching is just, it's what's called for. Here's another one. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. Y'all can help me with this one. 2 Corinthians 7, 8. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 7, 8. He says, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Anybody remember what Paul's talking about there? Any idea? Do it? He probably is in jail here. But he wrote to the Corinthians, and he had to scold them. And he had to get on to them. And he said, in 1 Corinthians, he had a horrible situation with this guy and his stepmother. And he got on to him about it. And in this letter, they're getting it right. And so he says, the purpose of getting on to you and doing what you did with this guy was for a season, so that this guy could either get his life right, or he's not going to get it right. But he's not going to get it right if you keep doing what you're doing. He won't ever get it right. So you have to set him aside. You have to remove him from the fellowship, and let him deal with this sin for a season, and then he'll make a decision about it. And in 2 Corinthians, he has made a decision about it, and he's tried to get back into the fellowship. And Paul's saying, look, I sent you a letter. I got on to you about how you handled the situation. I told you how to handle it. And now the purpose has been accomplished. The guy he's okay now. He's got the thing right. And so here's the season. He says, though it were but for a season. It wasn't forever. It wasn't meant to be forever. The purpose was to get this guy to consider the sin that he was living in and do something about it. Here's another one. This ought to be an encouraging one. Look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. This is one that, you know this one. Galatians 6, 9. This is why this verse is part of the reason you come to church. Because most people are not self-motivated, And you need someone to encourage you and exhort you to good works. You need to be encouraged and exhorted in good works. And verse 9, Galatians 6, 9, he says this, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." That is a temptation for sure. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That ought to be an encouragement. Alan and I were talking a while back about all this, the public ministry and things like that. And I think Alan's been doing it for 7 years, something like that. And after 7 years of doing it largely alone, now he's got, now there's, 10, 15 people out there. And a big group doing it 3 times a week. And it's just like, in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Just keep at it, and it'll pan out. It'll work out. And so here's an example of something like that. And you see that, you can see the opposite effects of that when people start to faint. They do well for a while, and just get tired of doing well, and they drop out of church. When I say drop out of church, that implies people who are hungry for the words of God at one time are no longer hungry anymore. They're not interested. They've got sports to do. They've got businesses to run. They've got other things that have come into their lives that you could say, well, you know, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do that. Well, there was a time where you would have made time to get to the words of God, to hear preaching, but now, you know, it's just, you got weary and well doing. It just got a little old. Maybe there was a time where you were passing out tracts, you were zealous and all that, and just like you weren't seeing a whole lot of fruit from it, and just kind of, well, you know, just stop thinking about doing it. But the promise is, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, there is, the purpose will be accomplished. The point is, according to the law of seasons, at some point, the purpose is going to be accomplished. It will be accomplished in what you're doing. Let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's encouraging. We saw preach the word. Here's another one. Here's look in Philemon. Then I'll give you one more after that. Kind of a similar situation as the Corinthians. Not exactly, though. But Onesimus was in trouble. Done some bad things. Philemon, verse 15. Onesimus gets himself in trouble. He does wrong and ends up in jail for it. And Paul says this, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Now, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord." So Onesimus gets in trouble. He ends up in jail. In jail, he gets saved. And Paul says, you know what? This whole thing worked out for his good. And now that he's out of jail, now he's going to return back to where he came from. He's going to be a part of this church, which is probably the Colossian church here, and not only not be a thief anymore, but now he's going to be a help in the ministry. And Paul says, you know, this season, this thing worked out. It worked out. The Lord was able to work with him, and through Paul get this guy saved and right and behaving right. Here's one more about seasons in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. This one's not so good. This is a bad one. Hebrews 11:25. It's not bad that Moses has faith, but notice the season here. We'll just take a little part of this verse. He says, Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. That's what Moses chose. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So sin is pleasurable, and once the pleasure runs out, then the payment comes due. So it's not that sin's not going to attract you because it's filthy, dirty, ugly, nasty. It attracts you because it's seductive and tempting and sweet and has these pleasurable qualities. And he says, yeah, it's pleasurable for a while, but then once the pleasure runs out, you find yourself addicted to it. You find yourself trying to live your life around that sin and hide things so that you can accommodate this sin and all that pleasure. It's sort of losing its luster, and now it's more just got its hooks in your flesh. And now you're just doing it out of almost habit. And he says, yeah, there's pleasure of sin for a season. And once that pleasure is done, that's the season. That's it's over with. And so there's a bad example. There's a bad example of a season there where pleasures of sin is just for a season. It doesn't last. And it's something you ought to remember. But those are a few New Testament applications of seasons, of at least the word seasons and how it's applied. But when Solomon mentions that, you got a promise of seasons, that they're just a part of life. And there's all kinds of opposite ends of the spectrum. Planting, rooting up. Born, die. Time to kill, time to let somebody live. Time to sew the thing together, a time to rip the thing apart, a time to pick up rocks, a time to spread out rocks. All these different opposite ends of the spectrum things. And Solomon says, under heaven, he says, yeah, there's all these different purposes that can be accomplished. He mentions 28 of them, and he says it's just the way it's going to happen. It's all appropriate in his time frame. A season accomplishes a purpose. It is what it needs to be. It is a time frame for something to be accomplished. And I guess some of the things you could pick up from this, not only in the New Testament what we looked at, but because seasons are predictable and you can plan for them. If it's going to happen in its season, some things are going to happen out of season. It's not good. But seasons are predictable, and you can plan for them. It determines what tools to use. It determines your activities. But seasons are just a part of life, and there are seasons in marriages. There are seasons in churches. There are seasons in people's lives, and I guess to really consider these things, consider how versatile, how opposite sometimes, even in your own life, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to kill, a time to let live, a time to mourn, a time to dance. I mean, all of these things, they're all appropriate in their time frame. And so a time to talk, a time to shut up, all that stuff's appropriate in its time. It's appropriate, and when it's appropriate, it's accomplishing what needs to be accomplished, and that is a season. So There's the seasons that some seasons in the Bible, what they are, how it works, and things you can prepare for and things that things to get accomplished in seasons. And so it's better to expect that there are going to be seasons than to expect that everything's supposed to happen a certain way all the time. It's always supposed to be this way. We're always supposed to be happy. We're always supposed to be this way. We're always supposed to be this way. We're always supposed to have this. We're always supposed to have that. That's not true. That's not true. It's just not true. It's what's being accomplished. It depends what's being accomplished. So there you go. Father, I pray it's been helpful. I guess if anything else, it's more about our expectations in life and understanding that there is an appropriate time for all kinds of things. And in their time frame, once they accomplish what they need to be what needs to be accomplished there, then move on to another season. But I guess more than anything, it's about our expectations of life. I pray you'd help us apply these things and understand them. I think most everybody understands all this that we went over tonight. I like looking at the preaching and just being reminded it's appropriate at any time. Some things like that are just appropriate at any time, and some things like sin, they got their little season of pleasure, but that runs out pretty quick. Father, I pray that you would encourage our folks here and those watching, some that may be discouraged. I know it's been a lot of things have been discouraging in the past year, and maybe it's the season, just something to get through and learn what we need to learn and move on. It's a blessing to see what all's going on around here, and things, the Children's Church growing and able to get the gospel out, and just more opportunities. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. And I thank you for those things. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.